Well, I would venture to guess that if this day of the year would have fallen on any other day of the week, many of you would be probably doing some very different things this morning. So thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for taking time out of what I would imagine would be a time of possibly celebration with your family, to be here, sitting on a pew, listening to some kid talk about the Bible. We have a lot of visitors here this morning with us, whether you're here from the community or whether you're here visiting friends or family. We thank you for being here, and it's certainly an encouragement to have you with us. If there's anything that we can do to help you in your spiritual walk with the Lord, we'd love to help you. If you have any questions or anything that you'd like to talk to us about, please feel free to start up that conversation today. So this morning's lesson is going to be a little bit different, and it's probably going to be a lesson that I think is going to challenge some of us. Some of us probably have never heard a lesson quite like this before, especially on a day quite like today. And I think the things that we're going to consider this morning are useful for us, especially today, especially in light of this world and the things that are going on today. And I hope that you can keep an open mind and an open heart to the things that we're going to consider today. And as we look through the Bible, as we consider Scripture, as we understand how it applies to our life, I hope that we can walk away from this lesson understanding something more about God, understanding something more about what He wants from us, and understanding more about what we can do in this world to teach others about the Lord. And if you have any questions, and really, seriously, if you are have any concerns or questions, or you'd like to discuss these things further, please come and talk to me after the service, because I'd appreciate really sitting down and having a serious conversation about some of these things. Before we get into the points, though, of this lesson this morning, I do want to just list off a few things that I believe, because I think it's important this morning, before I talk about the points of this lesson, I want to make it very clear what it is that I believe, so that there's no misunderstanding, no confusion, and everybody really gets sort of where we're going. I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, with all of my heart, that Santa Claus is not real. Seriously, I do. I you know, he doesn't see you when you're sleeping. He doesn't know when you're awake. In fact, he doesn't even know if you've been bad or good. It's only God who knows all of those things. Santa Claus is fiction. And I'm sorry, parents, I probably should have prepared you ahead of time maybe to cover your children's ears during this point. But I think everybody knows that. I think that's a commonly understood fact. But it's something that I feel like I need to say before we begin this lesson, lay the groundwork for what we're going to be talking about, maybe on a more serious note. The celebration observed today on December the 25th of Christmas is not actually found in the Bible. And I'll say that for me, that's a very clear thing. I don't read anywhere in the New Testament that tells us that we need to periodically or yearly remember the birth of Jesus. I don't see that example given in the Bible. I don't see anyone doing that. And so I don't think today it is some holy day or some special or elevated day that the world has somehow, you know, turned into at some point. But it's just a day. And in fact, as we probably will talk about during this service today at some point, you know, really, the only observance, the only periodic observance that we are even called to do as Christians is, in fact, the Lord's Supper. And remembering His death on the cross, remembering Jesus' death on the cross, is really the only thing that we're called to do on a periodic, week-to-week basis on the first day of the week. And we do that, and we will do that this morning. And if you want to even hear a better lesson about that, go listen to Alan's lesson from last Sunday morning. You know, remembrances are important in the Bible, and God gives them to us, and He gives us this Lord's Supper as a remembrance. Yet, I don't find any call or instruction for us to consider the birth of Jesus at any regularity. I'm going to say some more things about this, so don't stop there. But one more thing that I think, maybe a tangent from the rest of basically the facts of this day, December the 25th, I think there are times in our society where we as Christians do things that are not wise. And I think one of those things that may not be wise around this time of year for ourselves and for our children is harboring and fostering a mentality of materialism. You can look in the book of Acts as Paul would recall the words of Jesus as he said, it was more blessed to give than to receive, right? But on this day of the year, there is a mentality among our children, among people in general, that it is actually more blessed to receive than to give. And that is no more evident than when you give a child a present that they didn't want, they didn't expect, you know, an ugly sweater or even a bunny rabbit costume. And they open it up and you see just the dread on their face, right? The disappointment on their face that this is not good. And, you know, I think there's a real danger for us as parents. And I'm not standing up here saying that it's not good to give gifts and it's not good to you know, give our children things. What I'm saying is this can be a very dangerous time for us as parents and as Christians, in order to keep our children from understanding that this world is all about receiving instead of about giving. Now, with all of these things being said this morning, this is the groundwork that I'm laying for the points of this lesson. This is a season of great joy for Christians. And I want us to walk away from this lesson really understanding that we as Christians, even today, on this day that the world holds up as being a very special day, we can still have great joy today. Maybe for some different reasons than you've ever considered. We can walk away from today or walk away from this season really being joyful about our service to God and what He's called us to do in this world and the opportunities that we have to let our light shine. And so I want to talk this morning about why we should be joyful today and why we should be joyful around this season at all times. And I think it's an important topic for us to discuss and something that maybe you've never thought about before. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to break down the word joy as an acronym for this lesson. And so every point, there'll be three. We'll start with one of the letters of the word joy. And so we'll start with J. Did you know that Jesus' birth is not a topic that is only relegated to summer months? Did you know that? I just wanted to make that clear. Because sometimes I fear that, you know, we in the church, or many churches today, treat the topic of Jesus' birth and the discussion of it, or even singing songs about it, as being something that we don't want to embrace during, you know, the winter time, especially today. And I would say the fact that, you know, I'm even talking about this day or Jesus' birth today, in some congregations around the nation, I would imagine that I would A, never be asked to preach again, and B, probably get run out of the building for even saying such things today. But Jesus' birth is not just a topic for the summer. Let's look, if you will, grab a Bible and let's look at Luke, please. Let's look at Luke, because lest you forget, there are very descriptive accounts of this very event in the Bible. And I will say, as a proof for my embracing this topic today, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. And I don't believe there is anything in the Bible that is just a throwaway topic. I don't believe there is anything in the Bible that is just, you know, relegated to the category of like the genealogies or anything like that. Even the genealogies are important. The birth of Jesus is important. And we should never be afraid to talk about the birth of Jesus. But let's look here at Luke chapter 1. Because these are some amazing events. This event was not just some you know, common everyday occurrence. The events surrounding Jesus' birth were outstanding. Because our Savior, the Christ, came in human form. Has that ever happened before? Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now, the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice." Rejoice, right? Joy. That's what we're talking about here today. Joy. Rejoice. Highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And then he would go on to recount to her how she should not be afraid and how she was going to conceive and bear a son. And in verse 35, The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." A miraculous thing that was going to happen. She had not known a man, yet she would conceive and bear a son who would go on to save the entire world. And the angel at the very beginning tells her to what? Rejoice. Rejoice, highly favored one. Let's look at chapter 2 and verse 8, because the story continues after she does give birth. There are some amazing events that happen surrounding his birth. Verse 8 of chapter 2. "Now they were in the same country, shepherds living on the fields, keeping watch of their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" What's that word in there? Good tidings of great joy. Will be to who people? Will be to all people. This is going to be joyful for all people. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem to see that these things come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And skip down to verse 25. "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon." This was after the birth of Jesus, after he was born. There were men and women in this place who were waiting to see the Messiah. In fact, they had waited their whole lives to see the Messiah. And here it was, Simeon, this man who was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. There he is, waiting in the temple, this old man nearing the end of his life. And when he finally gets to see Jesus, when he finally gets to see this one-week-old baby, what does he say? Verse 29, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and glory of your people Israel." This is a man who was waiting to see the birth of Jesus. He was waiting to see the Son of God made flesh his whole life. And at the end of this whole encounter, he says, "Now I can die a happy man, having seen these amazing things." Jesus' birth is not a topic that we relegate just to the summer, because these are amazing things that happen. And if you want to talk about the birth of Jesus, if you want to sing about the birth of Jesus, if you want to think about the birth of Jesus, at any point in time, you should feel free to do so. And I'll say this. You know, we hold up the fact that we want to become like the early church, the church of the New Testament. And I think that's a good goal for us to have, becoming more and more like the church of the New Testament. Well, rewind in time 2,000 years ago and ask yourself the question, would anyone in the early church have ever had any problem talking about the birth of Jesus at any point in time in the year? Or would there have been certain times in their life in it during the year where they would have been concerned or afraid to talk about it? They would never have had a problem, because there was no false teaching going on around them that they felt like they had to shy away from. But it's our reaction, I think, to the false teaching that goes on today, or the false ideas about this day in the minds of many people, that causes us to shrink back. And not just on this topic. You find yourself shrinking back from a discussion about grace saving you. You find yourself shrinking back from a conversation about miracles. You find maybe yourself shrinking back from a conversation about the Holy Spirit. These topics, which a lot of people in the world misunderstand and vocally preach false teaching about, we sometimes shy away from for fear, maybe, of looking like the people around us. But again, I don't believe this is any special day. I don't believe this day is something that we find in the Bible. But I will say this, if you want to talk about the birth of Jesus today, then please do so. then think about his birth, because it's an amazing thing, and it's found in the Bible. And I will never let anyone in the church or outside of the church tell me when, where, and how I can talk about my Lord. And I hope you're the same way. I hope you have the same kind of faith, that you will not allow anyone to stand between you and thinking about the Lord who died for your sins. And so, this is a topic that we can talk about today, and if you feel comfortable talking about this topic today, let me say that you will find during this season great opportunity. There are so many opportunities. When you are willing and open to talk about the birth of our Lord and acknowledge this season in our society, you will have some great opportunities to teach others about Jesus. Because the fields are white with harvest. Not just with snow, and we live in the desert, so there's no snow, but the fields are clearly white with harvest, especially around this time of year. What other time of year do you have to see the faith of your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers shine as brightly as you do during this time of year? When people talk about Jesus openly, when you actually turn on the radio and you hear songs about Jesus on mainstream radio stations, there are people talking about our Lord today, and we can use these opportunities to help them see who Jesus truly is. It's Acts chapter 17 that really was the motivation for me to even preach this lesson. Acts chapter 17. Because Paul was in a situation in Athens where, and I know we all know this situation, I know this is a familiar story to us all, but there he is in Athens, and he's faced with a situation. Because he's looking around him, and he sees, in verse 22 of chapter 17, he stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." So there he is, in the middle of this public area, looking at everybody and saying, "You know, you guys are very religious." Now, let's just take a step back here, because what could Paul have said? Paul could have said, "You guys are idolaters. You guys are wrong. You guys have no idea what you're doing." He could have even just shied away from the topic altogether. He could have just seen all the idols around him and said, "I don't want to rock the boat here. And I'm going to be quiet so that they don't think that I'm somehow condoning their idolatrous worship." But what he does say is he says, "I see that you are very religious." This is Paul. This is Paul at his finest, using his opportunities, finding out the way of addressing a situation and addressing it very, very thoughtfully and with a lot of tact. He says, "I perceive you are very religious, for as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." So he says, "I see this altar. You are worshiping this altar. Let me tell you about this God who you don't know yet." We see today a lot of people talking about Jesus and singing about Jesus and thinking about Jesus. And rather than shying away from the discussion, rather than maybe going on the offensive and attacking people for focusing on this day, even though we don't find it in the New Testament, what we could do is use this opportunity to talk to people about Jesus. You could even go so far as to say, "What's your favorite Christmas song?" and begin a conversation about Jesus from there. You know, you can use this opportunity with your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers today to teach them about the one who died for their sins. And I think that is so important. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22 as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22 is Paul's sort of manifesto for the way that he lives his life, for the way that he teaches. And I think this is something we need to think about today as Christians so carefully. Back up to verse 19 in 1 Corinthians 9. "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, and under the law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. And here's the verse. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. In that verse, in Acts chapter 17, when he's standing there at the Areopagus, he became somebody who acknowledged the existence of altars to unknown gods, so that he might win those who believed in altars to unknown gods. And do you think he had an influence there over those people more than he would have had he attacked or had he fought against them? To the weak, he became as weak. And to the world, we can become like the world in the sense that we acknowledge this day and talk about this day and use this day as an opportunity to teach so that we might by all means save some. Let me give two examples of what not to do. I love looking at things that we should not do or stories about what not to do because it helps, in my mind, emphasize what we should do. One of them is a story that Ken used to tell us. And it was of a worship service much like this where the preacher was in the middle of preaching and somebody was sitting in the auditorium and they were shouting throughout the lesson, "Praise God! Praise the Lord!" And some hopefully well-meaning brother came up to the man and put his hand on his shoulder after the service and said, "Sir, we don't praise the Lord here." That's what not to do, okay? And let me just address the elephant in the room. There may be people here today visiting with us because this is a very special day to you. And listen, I appreciate you being here. And I am so thankful that you're here. And I, from the bottom of my heart, will sit down all afternoon in this building or at a coffee shop and talk about Jesus with you if that's what you want to do today. And I appreciate all of the visitors that we have here today. And I want us to understand that we have a focus that we need to maintain about the world and using our opportunities, not to shut people down, not to make people feel silly or dumb, but to make people see who Jesus really is. Let me give one more example that's a real example, and I'm not sure if I've said it from the pulpit before. I was at a congregation one time, and it was another day that was similar to this day. It was Easter Sunday, another sort of religiously acknowledged day in the minds of many people. And on the back pew that morning, there was a flyer, a leaflet to hand out to the membership, and there was in the leaflet was a whole list of all the things that were wrong with Easter, why Easter is not in the Bible, and what is wrong with Easter. And I agreed with many of the points that were made in there. I thought maybe the choice of putting it out there on that day was a little less than tactful. Yet at the beginning of that preacher's lesson, he started the lesson by saying, "If you are here because it's Easter Sunday, you're here for the wrong reason." I will never forget that. Because what other opportunity do we have than people coming into our midst, literally coming to us, sitting among us, listening to lessons about Jesus? What better opportunity do we have to help people see God than this time? And so again, I want to reiterate how thankful I am that everyone is here today. And I think that we have opportunities all around us, yet maybe sometimes we don't see it. But during this time of year, it can become very evident who our prospects are, who really we can teach to, who might be receptive to the gospel. Those people who are thinking about Jesus along with us today, those people who might be engaged in religious activities today, these are people you can talk to about Christ. And these are opportunities that we have that we should not ignore even today. And so let me finish the lesson by saying that I think yearly reminders are very helpful for us, maintaining our spiritual focus, maintaining our watchfulness on the Lord. You know, it's interesting to me, when you look back at the Old Law, how many yearly reminders God put in the Old Law for his people. Do you acknowledge how many times, how many festivals, how many feasts, how many observances there were that were on a year-to-year basis in the Old Law? That it's just amazing to me how many things that they did year by year by year in order to remember God. We don't have those today. And I'm not standing here saying that I think we should put yearly reminders in place. I'm not saying that I think that observing days like this is something that we ought to do or that we should do. What I'm saying is that there is benefit in spending a yearly period being reminded about something. And if there was no benefit to it, God would not have done it under the old law. And it's something that I think at least we can see that being reminded on a regular basis is not a bad thing. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 is a passage that Alan considered during his lesson last week, and I think it's a worthwhile thing for us to consider as well. Again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, for this reason, or sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by way of reminding you. We as people need reminders, right? We forget stuff a lot. And we need yearly reminders. We need daily reminders. And as we know in the new law, we need weekly reminders on the first day of the week to remember his death. Now, I'll say this, that Thanksgiving is not found in the Bible. Well, okay. Thanksgiving is found in the Bible. The Thanksgiving holiday is not found within the Bible. So this time of year, though, is a time of year that we can, as Christians, be thankful. Who's to tell us that on that day of Thanksgiving, when all of the world remembers thankfulness, that we can't also be thankful on that day? You know, New Year's. New Year's, I think, is a very interesting day. Totally man-made. Not anything about it that is found within the Bible. Yet, in our culture, we take a step back on those kinds of days and we look back to the past, we look forward to the future. In fact, you know, near the beginning of the year, we're going to, at this congregation, we're going to go through our goals. We're going to talk about these things that we do on a yearly basis, right? Not found within the Bible, but it's something that we do that's helpful for us. You know, and years ago, we used to even consider the same book of the Bible every year, the book of Nehemiah, in order for us to understand how to become a more equipped church for the Lord. These things, I think, on a yearly basis are very good for us to do. And if the world today wants to consider the birth of Jesus, then what's to stop us from also considering the birth of Jesus today as well? If the world wants to stop today and consider what a benefit it is to give and to help and to be charitable and to be hospitable to people, then what harm is there in us considering how we can give, how we can be hospitable, how we can be charitable, how we can show love? Yearly reminders, I think, are things that we can grasp onto as focus points for our own faith. Times that we can remember, okay, today I'm going to think about this. And I'm going to think about this every year. And maybe today is a day like that for you, or can be a day like that for you. And so, you know, at the end of all this, I want us to go back kind of where we started in this lesson, Luke chapter 2. When that angel, Gabriel, or when, sorry, not Gabriel, when that angel tells those shepherds in Luke chapter 2, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. I think this can be a time of great joy for Christians. Whether you celebrate this day as anything or not, whether you have friends or family who celebrate this day as anything or not, the fact that we can remember Jesus today, as we do every day, right? The fact that we can focus on him and maybe be reminded about his birth, the fact that we can use these opportunities in our lives to help people who might not yet know the Lord, I think these are great occasions for us to celebrate. And why wouldn't we look back to the birth of Jesus and celebrate? Because it was the day that our Lord was born, that he came and dwelt among us as flesh. And if you really stop and think about it, it's kind of the beginning of all of the gospel that we celebrate so much, right? It was the day in which he became flesh so that he could live a sinless life, so that he could die on the cross for our sins. And I for one, will not shy away from talking about it even today. Take out your songbooks. Turn to the number that's been announced. This is a day of great giving as well. And as you may have already done, or you may already be doing, or may be the recipient of. A lot of people give gifts today. Let me tell you about the biggest gift that you have ever been given, and that is the death of your Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ on the cross. That grace that has been bestowed on you is something that is greater than anything you will ever receive. And I guarantee you, you are never going to open up the package of the gift of grace and say, is that it? Because the blessing that we have in Jesus Christ is innumerable and brings us great joy. And if you have not yet become a child of His, if you've not yet given yourself to Him in baptism, then this morning we will baptize you and we will help you begin your walk with the Lord today. And if today you need the prayers of this congregation for help in some way, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.